Can you pop back just to previous slide for a moment? The book Spirit Walk, it's not only written by an amazingly edifying person. He's friends of leaders of many movements. It describes the spiritual dynamic behind some of these movements. It's very accessible, very readable, very edifying. And so I think you'll really be blessed if you take the time to dig into Spirit Walk. One other thing I wanted to mention that just occurred to me. I don't know if you've seen news of earthquakes. I saw just this morning, I didn't even read the article, but a huge quake in the Pacific. That's been preceded over the past few weeks by a number of significant earthquakes in the island of Lombok, Indonesia. And bigger than 6 point whatever. Last report I heard, thousands of houses had collapsed, hundreds of people have died, and thousands of other people are homeless because of the huge cracks and the ongoing quakes and aftershocks. So we have friends that are ministering there. They've been there for years. In fact, they were part of the Sunda team we joined back in 1993. They then moved to even less reached groups out there. I was excited to see a photo this morning of our friend with a whole bunch of kids in Lombok sharing how to deal with the trauma. That's their opening for just dealing with people's souls. They don't start talking about Jesus. They start talking about, what are you feeling? What's happening? So if you see news of quakes, pray for our friends who are doing incredible ministry in a very challenging place that suddenly is opening up for fresh kinds of ministry. God's doing so much stuff. We could spend all day talking about it, but we're not gonna. Okay, let's pop up two slides to the sermon slide. There we go, promoted by a promise. This is the home stretch, week 13 of 13, our series in Acts. So we're gonna be in Acts chapter 28, the very last chapter. And let me ask you, have you ever been shipwrecked on a strange island? Bitten by a poisonous snake with no antidote or modern medicine available? How about presumed to be a murderer? I haven't either. But I'll bet you've been in some situations that seemed incredibly overwhelming, confusing, unfair. And whatever situation you're in, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation right now, an exciting one or a kind of boring one, God wants to use you in that situation, whatever it is. He is able to and desiring, he wants to interact with you in your situations to make known his glory. So we're going to take a look at how that worked in the life of the Apostle Paul, the last chapter of Acts, and I'm intentionally not going to put it on the screen. If you really need to look at it, you can open a Bible to the last chapter of Acts, but this is mainly a story. So I'd encourage you to just listen to the story, the way people have done it for thousands and thousands of years. You might even want to close your eyes and picture what's going on as I read to you Acts chapter 28. Once safely on shore, this is after the shipwreck and all of that, which I presume you've heard about in previous weeks. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home, and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, yes, praise the Lord, the rest of the sick on the island came, and they were cured too. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of your ancestors, our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It's because of the hope of Israel that I'm bound with this chain." They replied, "We've not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." Wow, what an amazing story. Let's set this in context. Next slide. And next slide. The context, both the whole book of Acts and the context of salvation history. I don't know if you're aware that Acts 1:8, it's kind of a table of contents of the whole book of Acts. This promise, they gathered around Jesus and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So, next slide. We've got a Q&A here. They want to know, is now when you're going to establish your kingdom in fullness? They've been waiting for this. So, next. Jesus says, the timing isn't your business. That's not your issue. Next slide. But don't just sit around waiting for this to happen. Some amazing stuff needs to happen first. In other words, the kingdom is coming. It will come in fullness. The Messiah will reign over all the peoples of the earth, but not yet. We've got some stuff to happen first. And here's the stuff, the grammatical connection to verse 8. But, okay, it's going to happen. Not going to tell you times and dates, but here's what is going to happen in this age. You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and the gospel will be preached in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's pretty exciting stuff. Now, it's interesting that he talks about the Holy Spirit here. In fact, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 57 times in the book of Acts. That's more than twice per chapter. And in the early chapters, it's mentioned 16 times in the first 5 chapters. That's more than 3 times per chapter the Holy Spirit gets mentioned. More than the apostles. Some people said, well, actually, they should have called this the Acts of the Holy Spirit, not the Acts of the Holy. The real star of the show is not Paul or Peter or John. The star of the show is God, the Holy Spirit, bringing good news through these messengers to all of these places. So here's how Jesus' promise in verse 8 unfolds through the rest of the book. Next slide. chapters 1 through 7, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift, the Holy Spirit, which you've heard me speak about. So don't leave Jerusalem. Then in chapter 8, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. So 1 through 8, or 1 through the end of 7, it's focused on Jerusalem. That's where all that exciting stuff happens. They get thrown in jail. They're preaching boldly. All that is Jerusalem. Then, chapter 8, the persecution breaks out, and they're scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles who stayed in Jerusalem. So then we've got Judea and Samaria in chapter 8, chapter 9. We read about that. And then the most amazing thing happens in chapter 10. God gives Peter a vision and convinces him he should actually enter a Gentile home. It took some convincing, if you remember the story. Three times he's got this vision, this thing happening. So chapter 10, you've got Cornelius, a Gentile, who is actually saved. Amazing stuff, and his household. Chapter 13, the church in Antioch sends Paul and Barnabas to get more Gentiles saved, to go all around travel and preach the good news. And chapter 15, they have a meeting to clarify that the gospel is for all people, not just for Jews. You don't have to become a Jew first to become a follower of Jesus. And that's really good news for all of us. I'm not seeing many Jews here in the congregation this morning. I'm sure not. Praise God, the gospel is for all people all over. And then finally in chapter 28, he reaches Rome, which at that point was kind of the center of how to reach the ends of the earth. The great Roman Empire spanning all kinds of practically the whole known world at that time. So then we come to the end of chapter 28. Next slide. Whoop, back. Yeah. And these last verses of the whole book of Acts, God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, the ends of the earth, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, he stayed there in his own rented house, welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. How? With boldness, all boldness, not just a little, not just a medium amount, but with all boldness and without hindrance, which must have been a real treat for Paul. You know, he'd been some places where there were hindrances, but now he's arrived in the capital city without hindrance. He's just talking to whoever wants to come and listen. That's pretty exciting stuff. You know, even more exciting, though, is that that is not the end of the story. Now, we can apply this scripture, this chapter, at two different levels. One would be application based on specific life events. What happened then? How does that relate to what happens now? The other would be application based on the unfolding of salvation history. And so, real briefly, I want to look at first the life event. Why was Paul on the island of Malta? Incidentally, I'm planning to go to Malta in December. I'll watch out for gathering twigs and such, I promise. But I'm going to go there willingly, unlike Paul, who was not willing, and he didn't know what Malta was. He just landed there because that's where the ship got blown by the sea. So he was there mainly because other people's bad choices. You know, if you remember from the previous chapters, he warned the soldiers, he warned the captain, this isn't going to go good, this is not the time, don't do it this way. And they said, shut up, you're in chains, we're in charge. So there he is, he's in chains, he is humanly speaking powerless, he's a prisoner of the mightiest power in the whole world, and they've landed in the middle of a natural disaster, a storm so fierce for 2 weeks, they can't do anything except hope the ship doesn't break apart. And so now he's stuck with the consequences of somebody else's bad decisions. Have you ever been there? You're in a really lousy situation. It's not your fault. You did everything right. You're serving the Lord, doing what you're supposed to do, and somebody else messed up, and now you are in a bad, 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 bad place. Probably not as bad as Paul was in right then. But you know what it feels like to say, hey, they're the ones that messed up. Why am I getting all beat up here? So I've been in some pretty unpleasant situations in my life, but nothing like shipwreck, nothing like starving for 2 weeks, nothing like getting bit by a poisonous, nothing like being in chains, nothing like being on death row. But I've been in some bad situations. The question is, when you are in the very worst of situations, the worst you can think of, the worst you've ever experienced, maybe even the worst you can imagine, is God big enough to handle it? You know, do you believe that nothing is impossible for God? that even in the very absolute worst of situations that could possibly happen in your life, God is able to do something good? Wow. You know, there's so many things that we could talk about from this chapter, so many applications. I could talk all day, but I'm not gonna. So I picked just this one. God is able. God is able to do marvelous things. You know, he's been shipwrecked. It's cold and rainy when they get there, and they haven't eaten for 2 weeks. They've been just hoping they stay alive. All the food's already thrown overboard. And now, there they are, and he's got a poisonous snake attached to his hand. How would you feel at that point? This is not a good situation. You know, but what amazes me about this, well, okay, yeah, I'm amazed he didn't die from the poisonous bite. That's pretty cool. But after a couple of days of recovery, of rest, he sees a sick guy, and what does he do? He says, "You want to be healed?" I mean, we don't know the whole story. We just know that the man was willing to be prayed for, so Paul prayed and healed him. He didn't just say, "God, if you can do something, you know, would you please have mercy?" No, it says he healed him in the name of Jesus. That's glorious. And then when word got out, a whole bunch more people. So, God is just doing amazing things out of the most incredibly horrible, rotten situation. So I'm confident that whatever is the worst situation you've ever been in or are in right now or will be in, God is willing and able to do something really amazing through you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, it's the same Spirit Paul had. The same Spirit Jesus promised in Acts 1:8. The same Spirit that works through the whole book is still at work in chapter 28 and is still at work now. That's one of the most exciting things about Acts 28 is the story ends there, but the story doesn't end. The story continues. You know, there are groups and agencies and trainings called Acts 29. This is the next chapter of Acts, this age, until Jesus comes back. This is a pretty exciting place to be. The same Holy Spirit still at work doing all kinds of things. Well, before I close, let's look at one application, or maybe a couple, based on the unfolding of salvation history. Because Acts, this is a huge turning point, you know, from just Jews to the whole world. That's huge. So, next slide. Let's see what we've got here. Applications based on specific life. We did that. Yep. Faith to really believe. Well, back up for a sec. It's a handy little summary of what I've been hollering about for the last couple minutes. And say, God, give me faith to really believe nothing is too hard for you when I'm in the most miserable of situations. Lord, increase my faith. Okay, next slide. And application based on salvation history. What we've got. Again, let's look at these last few verses. Next slide. God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. So he's proclaiming the good news to all kinds of people. So where does that leave us? It leaves us 2,000 years closer to the end of the age than Paul was when Acts finished. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. This is part of why I'm so excited about things like the 2414 initiative, where we have leaders from all over the world taking very seriously. We have top leaders around Africa saying, we're going to figure out what tribes still need the gospel in Africa. We've got top leaders in India saying, we're going to figure out what places and groups still need the gospel in India. And then we'll tell you guys, and we're going to pray together and work together and send teams to the very ends of the earth. You know, at the time Jesus gave that promise, what do you think they were imagining were the ends of the earth? Maybe as far as India, Iran, Persia, you know? They knew something was probably south of Egypt, but it was dark and jungly, and they didn't want to go there. And they had no clue North America existed. If they had had a clue, they would have thought, that is absolutely the ends of the earth. Well, the gospel's here. But there are still people, places, and groups where the gospel is not. So the ends of the earth is still in play, still in the process of being finished. So some possible action steps. Next slide. And I want you to just seek the Lord and say, so God, which of these are for me? Jesus taught us to pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. All over the place, every tribe, every city, every group. This is a command for every believer in Jesus. So here's one application I can guarantee is for you. Pray that the kingdom would come to these peoples and places around the globe. Next slide. Prayer specifically for the gospel to reach the ends of the earth. If you want to be more specific and say, so where are some of these groups you're talking about? You know, it's kind of a vague, different. Pat has in her hand. Can you stand up and just hold that thing, show it around for a minute, Pat? These are the 31 largest, least reached groups around the world. And what Pat and I are going to do, yeah, thanks, Pat, is there's a copy out in the foyer. Take a look at it. And if you would like, now you can get the PDF for free. It's online. But if you'd like to have something in your hand and turn the page and say, okay, today I'm going to pray for this group. Today I'm going to pray for this. This is an incredible prayer guide for very strategic, unreached groups. And one of those is the Dobie people, yes? Page 13. I understand you guys have adopted this people group. They're famous. They're in the prayer guide. They are one of those 31 groups. So that's another step you can take. See Pat in the foyer afterward if you want to get a printed copy of this. What's it going to cost, Pat, for a copy?
Well, they won't get a big color one. It'll be a black and white booklet form, and it will be free.
Cool, free. You can't beat that.
Not ahead of missions. We'll pay for it.
Praise God. Okay, good. Next possible application. Oh, there it is, a picture. Next slide. Is via the global outreach team, the missions team here at the church, doing some incredible stuff, supporting people like us, people like some folks in India, and do I say their name here? Of course I do. You support some pretty cool people doing amazing things at the ends of the earth, and God's using it. When you put some money in that little box back there, part of that goes to reach the ends of the earth. Keep doing that. And feel free to join the global outreach team if you want to have a voice in how that money is spent, who it goes to, that kind of thing. Some other Samaria and ends of the earth people. International students are coming from the ends of the earth to us here in northern New York. It's a wonderful thing. You don't even have to get on a 14-hour plane ride to Malaysia, Indonesia, to Central Africa. They'll just come here and hang out and wonder if people in this place are friendly or not. So, internationals, refugees, incredible opportunity. So, Samaria, in the context where it was spoken, that was a group, it was close to Judea, but they were different people. So, we think of Jerusalem as the close ones. Samaria is the ones, they're geographically close, but they're different. Maybe a different language, maybe a different color, maybe a different religion. Samaria is the opportunity to easily reach people that are different than you. Not just hang out with people that look like you, think like you, talk like you. You're Samaria. Take the opportunities. And Pat's amening. She will be happy to encourage and challenge you in these things if you want some more info on how to do that. And then Jerusalem. Verbal and loving witness in your everyday interactions. Your home location. Your neighbors. Last night we were taking a walk down the road, and there was a lady and two kids out playing. And we said hi, they said hi, and we kept walking. And I said, you know, sometimes I just feel like I would love to stop and talk with people and, you know, get to know them a little bit. And so I just kind of tossed up a prayer. God, if you want me to, if we could talk to those folks for a minute, if that would be appropriate. So about 10 minutes later, we're coming back down, and this little girl, 4 years old, says hi. And we said hi. And so we stopped and chatted with them for a couple of minutes. It's not hard. Now, I'm not sticking around, so I'm hoping Mark and Patsy will follow up with these folks. But I'll bet you have some neighbors, some friends, some people around who don't yet know the Lord. And there are probably some opportunities where you could connect with them, where if you actually believed they were lost and headed to a very bad place for eternity, and you actually had good news that could rescue them, you might say, God, tell me how to do this. How can I connect with these people and convey some good news? So, time for me to stop talking, but I want to take just a couple of minutes and allow you to invite the Holy Spirit to say, which of these things are for me? What do you want me to do this week? What do you want me to take as my application of this text? So, let's take a moment to pray.
Father,
we want to hear from you. Speak. Your servants are listening. Lord, I thank you that your kingdom is coming and Jesus will reign over all the earth, all peoples, all nations. I thank you for that promise, and I thank you that even though it's not quite time yet, you've made very clear what needs to happen before your return. You have given us the opportunity and the privilege to be a part of that, and we thank you for that. Lord, I bless you that you have put your Holy Spirit here in the hearts of your people to empower us with the same power that energized the apostles in the book of Acts, so that we can do the works you've prepared for us, the mighty works or the small works, the surprising works, the challenging works. I ask, Lord, that whatever you have for each one of us, the unique works that you've put before us and will put before us this week, this month, this year, that we would be faithful to fulfill your promise to walk by your Spirit, to be your lights, your witness, for the glory of your name to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.